Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome to Iron Gym Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Rob McKeefrey, and this is episode number 264. I want to thank you guys for listening each week. I really appreciate those of you that like, share, comment. Just keep continues to help us highlight the great people that we have in our profession. Also want to thank all of our sponsors. Without this, it's not possible bringing these episodes to you for free. I only partner with companies that I believe in, both the products and the people. So if you're in the market, be sure to check those guys out. You can get to all their links on our website as well. This week, really excited to have a good buddy of mine, Lou Corella, with us. Lou's the head strength coach at the University of Buffalo. You guys know him as the head strength coach there. He's been North Texas. He's been at the University of Michigan. He's been Georgia Tech, a bunch of different places. I know him as the wiry sophomore junior kid that came and did an internship with us that was playing college ball that would do all the training and the workouts with our players, but then turn around and work like a madman in the weight room. So, man, it's an honor to have you on the show, brother.
Thanks so much, Coach. This is I feel like I made it now that I'm talking to you on this show. It's awesome.
You've made it long before this, but man, I mentioned a bunch of those places. I know you've been more than that. You know, what place, what stop along the way best defines you currently? Like, where do you feel like you really kind of came into your own?
I feel like you started the engine. You know, I got the main interest from you. How organized it was, how everything was to a T, thought out and well planned. I thought it was amazing. I never saw anything like it. And then that carried me to Matt Bayless, where I thought I really cut my teeth in the whole thing. And then I found the true passion in all of it. And because I got thrown in the fire with him, I was the only intern he had. So that was the experience that pretty much got everything going.
Right. That was that was Virginia, right?
Yeah, Virginia. That next summer.
Yeah, Virginia, and then he went to Mississippi State. I mean, that's, you know, so many times, in this profession, you got a bunch of people that understand and appreciate that internship experience and for what it is, you know. And then there's the other side of the coin where there's, you know, people that, you know, shouldn't be taking advantage of these young coaches and these interns and things like that. Kind of, where do you lie on that? I mean, what do you think is the right experience for them?
I think having a very, very good curriculum for interns when they come in is so important. You can't just have them up and clean and then leave. You know, I'm always telling the interns to take notes and then share their notes with me at the end of the day and then ask the questions on their notes. So they don't leave empty-handed. You know, we're trying to, without letting them coach anymore, it is a challenge. But they're going to remember the internship just based on how you made them feel. And that's where you don't want to be replaceable as a coach, because I think the kids leave and they feel like a full heart at the end. And, wow, I can't imagine anything being better just by how you treated them and how you involve the players with them too.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's so important to, I mean, if you're going to take on the responsibility of mentoring young coaches, then you need to own that and you need to fully invest in it. That means providing that type of curriculum. That means being there for their questions. But more importantly, I think you would attest to this, is being there for the entire career, you know, for me, it's always been, you know, I tell people, the interns in the very first meeting that, you know, you don't just have me for this 6 months or three right. months, whatever it is. You got me in your corner for the rest of your career. And hopefully that pays dividends down the road, you know. And I think, you know, if you're a coach that's listening to this and you invest in your people and you try to help them better their situations throughout their entire career, then you can fully justify not paying them for a 3-month internship. It's part of the
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you don't become a head strength coach, and you were relatively young when you got your opportunity too, without making some mistakes along the way. What's one of the biggest mistakes you've made, and how you learned from it?
I think my first and biggest mistake as a head strength coach. See, as an assistant, I spent years taking notes. I spent years dreaming of how it would be, and what I'd want to do, and how I'd want to do it, and when it happened, I did. I did everything I wanted to do. But sometimes you had a handful of kids that didn't really appreciate that. And just because you feel like it should be the best thing in the world doesn't mean the 105 guys will all feel that way. And I kind of took that personal. So that affected my mood at times with the lift group that did nothing wrong. And my family going home at night, I would be in a bad mood. So I think I learned a lot that year. I could not ask for a better year of just learning, because I don't think I matured until I was put in the same position twice. Yeah. And that's really how I acted different, and I knew I was growing.
Yeah, I tell people all the time that you know that you don't really understand the job until you sit in the big chair, you know. And you know, the culture and the mentorship and the dealing with all the issues. And I mean, the easy part is writing the workout. That's what everybody thinks is the hard part. The easy part is writing the workout. The hard part is getting everybody to buy into it and go to war for you. And it's such an important piece. And you and I kind of bond over that. I mean, all through the years, the leadership piece and trying to constantly find unique and creative ways and to motivate your team. I mean, talk a little bit about the importance of developing yourself as a leader and not just a strength coach.
I think being under guys like yourself, Matt Bayless, Aaron Wellman, Neil Peduzzi, guys like that, you molded me. And I felt very confident going into that first position where all eyes were on me. So this is my third time now in 4 years where I've had to win a room over, and I'm the only new guy on staff. So that's like very uncommon. And if you swing and miss, you miss big. And I think really making sure the kids know that I'm going to spend the first 2 months on the job interviewing all of them just before I ever yell at them or ever do anything to try to push them. It's so important, because I need to know what their biggest obstacle they've been through. I need to know what kind of coach they hate. I need to know what's pushing them now. So there's so many questions I ask the kids before I really get going with them. And I think that's helped a lot.
Yeah, you and I always, you know, anytime we get together, we talk about the different leadership books that we're reading and stuff. But I think you would agree that leadership books are great, and they kind of reinforce, and they kind of, you know, you get a nugget here and a nugget there, but it's, you know, you're not going to learn to be a leader through a book. You know, how would you recommend these young coaches develop themselves as a leader of men or women? And it's one thing, you know, to be the person that says it, and it's another thing to be the one that's leading the charge up the hill and everybody's, you know.
I think a lot of people mess up when they try to be a message that they're really not themselves. And I think that's where leaders fall off in this field. They try to be the message, but they don't live that life themselves. So I make sure, one of my main goals is to outwork the players I coach. And that's always the way it's been. And I've always, every stop I've made, the kids know I can jump in at any time and do any workout that I give them. And I'm not going to give them a workout that I haven't tried myself. So I think with that, it gives mutual respect. And then every day also, there's just like you got your template for your week. Every day in your template, there has to be a place for a motivational or inspirational message before they leave the room. And I think after time, they know you're not playing around. You really want to help these kids. And it's just intentional effort. That's all it is. It's the extra little bit that adds up a lot.
Yeah, I've got that book coming out, and it looks like it's going to be January. That's all about it's the 5 minutes before the workout or the 5 minutes after the workout that you get to talk about how to be a better human, you know, and
yep.
It doesn't take much, you know, in terms of doing that. And it doesn't have to be these awe-inspiring kind of metaphorical stories. It could be just, you know, being vulnerable in your own situation and talk about your own life.
That's right. Exactly.
That's what, you know, athletes will find motivation in that because, you know, that's ultimately you've walked a path that a lot of these guys are walking, you know, playing a college football player, me being a college football player, and, you know, just providing a little bit of guidance along the way. That's, to me, that's what true leadership is for sure.
Yes.
You've got some of the coaches that are watching this. You might have watched, you know, Lou on ESPN walking down the plates of the guys doing the wall sit, or I think you just had a video go viral this year too, didn't you?
Yeah, the partner hamstring, Nordic hamstring curl.
Nordic hamstring curl or something like that. I mean, you've done, and you're not the most prevalent guy on social media or anything like that, but you've incorporated it as a form of getting your guys to be more excited about the work that they're doing, you know, and I know you've done, you know, themed workouts like we used to do and all that kind of stuff. You know, why do that stuff? Why try to find ways to make it exciting or, you know, outside of the obvious. I mean, the obvious is to break up the boredom and being tedious, but
right.
More to it than that.
I feel like I try to put myself in their shoes, and I know that they didn't sign the letter of intent to lift weights. So my job at that point, because I know the weight room's the answer. Like in my heart, I know it as it changes people. So I have to think of ways to create an atmosphere that they love coming back to. So way outside the box every Friday is how I think. You know, you got your staples in there early on in the week that you got to get done. But every Friday, that is a wherever my brain takes me to get a purpose and a message driven home of a theme. And, you know, we've done stuff like the 4th of July, the Declaration of Independence was signed on 1776. So we did 1776 reps of a total body workout. And the whole team was in here and it was crazy. We all dressed up. We also did a tap out lift. So they're a lot more serious team lifts too, where you are paired up with a guy individually and you have to go through 14 different events against him. And the only way you win is if he quits. So it's just anything you think of that is different. I believe the kids will excel mentally and they will enjoy the whole process and they're going to have great memories one day. And that's what you want to leave them with.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, you talk about like the tap out workout you got the other side of the aisle. That's like, you know, well, you're not creating, you know, you can't build mental toughness by punishments or, you know, tough workouts or things like that. Or you had the people that probably got on, and for every 10 people that thought what you did walking down the plates on the wall sit was cool. You had another person that thought it was stupid. You know, how do you handle like external criticism like that? Or how do you justify a tap out type of workout?
I justify it by personal experience. I feel like every time I've gone through something really hard in my life, it's definitely made me better. And you know what? The conflict that you have in your heart against another guy on your team brings you closer at the end of the day. So if all you're thinking about the day before is beating him and how you're going to win that match, the next day you're hugging him. Right. And that I truly believe that brings you closer. As far as the wall sit goes, that was an offensive line and defensive line finisher for the day. And I think, you know, people can look at that and say whatever, but that is a finisher that's different outside the box that they were singing the fight song and it was another thing that we were just doing that day. So it wasn't even intentional to post.
Right. I think, I mean, that's a key message right there that I think might get missed is that that wasn't posturing. You didn't do that because the cameras went on all of a sudden and you're like, let me show people what Lou Corella is all about.
Right.
It was, finding a way to try to get into the psyche of offense and defense alignment and get them to rally around one another in a team type of approach and unify by singing this fight song and things like that. I mean, I think the other thing that you mentioned, I think that is important to talk about is the relationship piece of it. You know, if you are a freaking jerk 100%, 99% of the time, and you're just a human the other 1% of the time, then yeah, I mean, people are not going to, they're going to turn on you the first chance they get. It's going to be a negative situation outside of the weight room, whatever. But if you're genuinely care about that person 99% of the time, 100% of the time, but you're showing them how much you love them 99% of the time, but you're getting their ass for that 1%. Those are the coaches that I remember the most are the ones that made me better, get me outside of my comfort zone.
Absolutely.
Challenged me to grow as a human being.
Absolutely. And I feel like, that you said it too. I share all my mistakes with the team. I share every flaw that I have. They know exactly who I am and they know why I care so much because I share it with them. I know they know how much pain I've gone through because of how many times I've been fired. They know how many times I've not known how I was going to have health insurance the next month. So we're all on the same page. And I think if you don't do that, you will get in trouble.
Right.
Because that is the danger part. If you just act, like you said, not like a human and you don't make mistakes and you bark orders, that's not okay. Great. You gotta love first and then coach hard.
Yeah, I 100%. I think that's a lesson that it's hard when you're a young coach to demonstrate because you want to act like you got it all together. And it's such a daunting task and role to lead men. And if you feel like you show any kink in the armor, that you can get ran over at any minute, but the reality is that it will bring you much, much, much closer if you show vulnerability.
Right.
And show your wins and your losses. And you do that not just in coaching, working with the athletes, but almost on all your aspects. I mean, I know you're a strong husband, you're a strong father, you're constantly posting, challenges with your son about running across the field. If you're doing a pool gas or what he's doing a cross field or something, I think that's important too, to kind of live what you say, to live that you're being a well-rounded person, to show your players that, to show your staff that you're willing to get out there and do any workout and go through it with them or that you're willing to get out there and mop a floor as well.
Right.
Lines. Why do you think that that's so hard for coaches to do?
I just think they feel the power at first. Once they get in that role, they feel like, wow, this is great. I have so much power, and they gotta listen to me, or else they're out. That's I can't tell you how many kids and how many trials I've heard of coaches that they just haven't liked in the past, and they all come out on the interviews or every time I ask the question, "Who's the worst coach you've ever had, and why?" It's always someone. But the why is normally always the same. Well, he was lazy, or like he barked orders and we knew he couldn't do it, or he didn't show that he cared about us, or he just liked to punish us if we messed up one time, but we didn't even know why. So all these different reasons sum up into one thing. They didn't really show him much love. And they didn't. That's where the leaders forget what it's all about. It's not about you. It's never been about you.
Right.
And once you're a leader, it's less about you than ever. So I think that's where they lose it.
That's so right. Especially the higher you go. I mean, you go up into, you're in that BCS program, you're in that NFL program. And I mean, the bottom line is that you become, you become the worst athlete in the room. You go from being pretty good to all of a sudden you're looking around and you're. I remember freaking chewing. We had this lineman at Tennessee that was 6'8", you know, 340 pounds, 350 pounds, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just ripping him a new, you know, new one, and I'm pointing up at him, and I'm like, this guy's gonna freaking squash me like a bug. But it's but you're right. I mean, it's a real thing that you got to protect against. Is that it, you know, all of a sudden you got a bunch of people telling you how great you are, the place that you're at, it's great, all those things, and it is. It's one mistake that can cost you everything. You know.
Yeah.
And you got to make sure that you're cognizant of that and that you stand your ground. And when it comes to moral and ethical type of things, and but not get consumed by that piece of it. The best way to do that, I think you would agree with me, is to stay grounded in your home team with your family,
yep,
kids, you know, and making sure that that you're developing there. Because I mean, we all make mistakes every single day, and I make most of my mistakes at home, unfortunately, you know.
Right.
Well, man, we end the show with some resources. Give us best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
I think believe in yourself, regardless of the outside noise. I just think I've been let go. I've been let go due to wins and losses. I have almost vented to the next job with passion of how much I do still truly believe in what I'm doing. And I'm not going to let the wins and losses make me who I am. It's just going to continue. So yeah, sure. I've had a lot of jobs real quick, sometimes not by choice, but I will always believe in the purpose of why I'm doing this.
Right. Yeah. So, well, it's the old adage, you know, it's not if, it's when in this profession. you're going to in this job. And being prepared for that is important. It's hard, you know, it's hard. Give us a book, app, and website recommendation.
My favorite book is In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day by Mark Batterson.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And I'm also reading his new one, Play the Man. I like that one a lot. As far as website goes, I really think the best one is the one you have, RonMcKeefer.com. I learned so much from your free podcast that you give out. So nothing groundbreaking there for everyone, but that's what I believe. So, and then an app. I've always thought Coach's Eye is one of the best ones. I just think you can give instant feedback for kids that don't maybe even like hear your coaching. You can just show them. So,
yeah, I think it's that feedback is so important. So important. Well, man, you know, we talk about this all the time, and you know, I got a text from you. I can't remember, you know, a week ago or so or whatever. And, you know, for you guys that are listening, I mean, Lou is the epitome of how you should go about your career. I mean, he is, loyal probably to a fault. Sometimes he's, you know, he shows gratitude and he sent me a text just thanking me. I mean, it's been what, probably 15 years, you know, since.
It's been 12 years. Yeah.
12 years since you were an intern, and you sent me a text at the beginning of almost every season, just thanking me for, you know, being a part of a small part of your career. And then I, you know, you and I talk often about how much, you know, how you can continually get better for your athletes and how much investment goes into your athletes. So, man, I think, you know, I think the world of you as a person and as a coach, and I'm just proud of you, man. Proud of everything you've done.
Coach, I mean, every 3 months out of the year, you will always get a text from me, because without you, I didn't even know this field existed, and I probably never would have got started. So that's why I text you almost 3 months out of every year. So
that's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefree.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefree's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefree in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefree can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefree. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefree. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.